Proverbs 30, the words of Agur. Well, who was this Agur, son of Jakeh? Agur means the collector, and I want to suggest that this is a proverb that, or a chapter that was written at the same sort of time as Ecclesiastes, and I want to show that it has the same spirit. Agur means the collector, and Solomon says in Ecclesiastes that he collected together many proverbs and put them in order. And so the collector, I think, is Solomon, and the son of Jakeh, well, I think that's a code name for David. The next bit that says in the NIV, the man said to Ithiel, even to Ithiel and Ucal, well, these names aren't attested as Hebrew personal names at the time, and we don't know anything about these people, so I think there's a translation problem there. And I'd go with the ESV that says, the man declares, I am weary, O God, I am weary, O God, and worn out. Or, as the Good News Bible has it, God is not with me, God is not with me, and I'm helpless. So I think that this is Solomon at the same time that he's writing Ecclesiastes, where his wives have turned away his heart, and he's facing death, and he's bitter and nihilistic. And I think that it's, a look back in anger kind of situation. So that's my take on the words of Agur, that they are in fact the words of Solomon at the time of Ecclesiastes. And he seems to have it in for women throughout the book of Proverbs. He has a lot to say about adulterers and prostitutes and the rest of it. Now, he had a weakness for women, right? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he says in Ecclesiastes that he had all these because he did not restrain his eyes, and whatever he wanted, he took every kind of woman, every kind of body, every hair color, I suppose, every nationality. He did not restrain himself. And here's what happens when you live like that. A way of life that is unfortunately glorified by the society in which we live. Verse 15, the leech or the bloodsucker has two daughters. Give, give, they say. And there are three or four things that are never satisfied and that can never say enough. Well, the Good News Bible, a leech has two daughters and both are called Give Me. And the leech, as I say, was a bloodsucker. So he seems to be talking about one particular woman who really he felt was insatiable. If you don't translate the Hebrew as leech or bloodsucker and just leave it as it is in Hebrew, alukah, this is a female name. It's as if it's a code name. And he says that she and her two daughters he found absolutely insatiable. Well, why, if he had all this power, does he allow himself to be so hurt by the attitude of this particular woman and her daughters? I think it shows that, as he laments in Ecclesiastes 7, he has become ensnared by these women. Despite his huge power, he still becomes ensnared by them. And then he complains that there are several things which are never satisfied. Verse 16, Sheol, the barren womb, the earth that's not satisfied with water, the fire that doesn't say enough. Well, he had 1,000 wives, and of course, he would not have seen much of any of them. What happened was that he fancied a girl, took her, she became his wife because he'd slept with her, or one of his concubines, and she was then shut up in the harem and perhaps never called for again. This was an awful thing to do to these women. She was left without children. He might have slept with her a few times if she didn't get pregnant. Well, that's it. You've slept with the king, you can sleep with anybody else, you're shut up in the harem. You might just possibly be called to the king again. And so he complains that the barren womb is like a parched land. That's like a fire, and that burns, as it were, to Sheol, to the grave. And then he goes on to complain about another three things which he says he does not understand, verse 18. And I think these three things all come to their term in how he concludes, verse 20, so is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. Well, the things that he mentions as being like the adulterous woman are the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maiden, or the way of a man within a woman, as if it's alluding to the sex act. All those things, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, they leave no trace. That's the point. And he says it's the same with an adulterous woman and the way of a man within a woman. He's saying that, well, you don't know when a woman's committed adultery. It's like an eagle in the air, a serpent on a rock, and a ship in the midst of the sea. They leave no evidence of their path. It happens, but there's no evidence of the path taken. Well, you see this man who has all this power to just grab women who he fancies and have what might appear to be the fantasy of every unspiritual man, to have this huge number of women. And he says, ah, but the problem is you always live in fear that they're going to commit adultery, and you can never find out because there's no trace left. Of course, he takes these girls, women, sleeps with them. Ah, I slept with you. You're the king's wife or concubine. Off you go to the harem, and you shall stay there. And of course they were going to get upset. Of course their life was going to be miserable, and of course they were tempted as human beings to sleep with men. Of course, I mean, 1,000 beautiful women locked up, basically not allowed near men. I mean, sure, it's going to be like, you know, bees around a honeypot trying to get in there. And then he laments, verse 23, how bad it is for an unloved woman when she is married. Well, yes, yeah, Solomon, sure, you had 1,000 unloved women who were married. What are we to make of this? I think it just shows that as Solomon himself realizes technically, theoretically, the eye is not satisfied with seeing. And if you go the way of the flesh and indulge yourself, it does not have a good outcome. This is, again, the simple takeaway from the Song of Solomon, which is a sort of a painful romance between Solomon and some Egyptian woman that goes hopelessly wrong and ends in a rather sad way at the end of the Song of Solomon. They both depart from each other, etc. And this is the takeaway from all this, that giving in to the flesh does not satisfy. He himself realizes this, but he still does it. And yet people spend their whole lives trying to attain wealth so that they can buy that dream car, that dream holiday home, so that they can have this relationship with that person, so they can get out of this relationship and, oh, yeah, there's another one. It's all the endless chasing of the end of a rainbow. And what a blessing it is that in Christ we have another way to be, another way to live, that you're not endlessly looking for the fulfillment of what you see with your eyes, because the eye is not satisfied with seeing. And why have we got this whole situation with Solomon recorded in so much detail? Well, I think it is to set us an example and for us to learn the lesson that here was a man who was provided by God with the power to do everything and health to, quote, enjoy it, and he goes for it. As he says in Ecclesiastes, he goes for it. He has all these women. He goes into building. He goes into agriculture. He goes into alcohol. He does whatever occurs to him. He has the resources and the health to do it. You think, well, why didn't God strike him down? Well, I think one of the reasons for that, apart from, I guess, hoping for his repentance, one of the reasons for that was so that he would write it all up. So that we have books like Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and this Proverbs 30, which I suggest is in the same spirit as Ecclesiastes. You have all that, and you can read it, and you can see, yeah, well, there was a man who actually had the opportunity to do everything. And he did. He indulged himself, as he says, I did not restrain myself. I did whatever I wanted, but sin and following the desires of the flesh does not satisfy. The earlier in our lives we understand that, the better. Because what's the option then? Well, the option is to go God's way. And that is the way, ultimately, to the life eternal. And you get to the end of your life, as Solomon did in Ecclesiastes, and there is only this nihilism. As your faculties fail, there is only death to look forward to, and that's it. It's game over. And it wasn't that great a game anyway, because here he is, clearly bitter against women who had played in his earlier life such a big part, these very women who had turned his heart away from God. And it did not satisfy him. His eye was not satisfied with seeing. And he reaped only bitterness in his latter end. And this is the example and the lesson for us.